This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. You have found your way to the Holderness Family Podcast, and we just couldn't be more tickled pink that you did.
Tickled?
Tickled pink.
Tickled pink. Oh, by the way, if you tickle me, I will punch you.
Yeah.
I mean, my...
Have we not covered that yet on this podcast?
I hate to be tickled.
It is so... And look, that's like a flirting thing that guys do.
Is it?
Used to. Like, it was...
When?
High school...
I don't know. Maybe anybody tickles me,
college.
I will punch you. I don't care if it's my mom
it's
who just
like,
had hip surgery. I will. I cannot be tickled.
You'd punch your mom?
If she tickled me, yeah,
she's
I would.
Like, she's still in the hospital.
She's still recovering, and I would punch her. No, I'm kidding, Granny.
You've learned something new about Kim.
I don't know what it is. I despise that feeling.
Well,
even just thinking about it right now, I'm very tense.
Can we spend one more minute with this? Because I do think... It's tickling is kind of a Me Too thing, right? Because you tickle the girl and they're like, stop it. No, no. And like for tickling, like no means yes. Like you keep tickling them a little bit more and then it gets kind of squirmy and then you're dating. Like that was.
I don't know what era you grew up in.
Like the 90s.
No.
Okay. I understand that's, and I have not done that for decades now because of the person who I'm now currently in love with. Even when we were dating, like, I think I tried to tickle you and you were like, this stops now. Everything's been really comfortable. I'm not walking on eggshells about this. You will never tickle me again.
Yes.
And my daughter's inherited that.
Well, I think it's just a feeling. Anyway, even talking about being tickled makes me anxious. So we should move on.
Okay.
We are over the moon to have this guest on our podcast. But very quickly, if you want to stay up to date with all new projects we have going on, we have a newsletter. Go to theholdernessfamily.com/newsletter. You know, social media is weird, y'all. And even my mom says she doesn't really see our stuff a lot. So if you want it, we have some big, fun, exciting stuff coming. So just sign up for our newsletter.
One other thing to keep you up to date. We are just about to finish our second book. And it has been a thing, y'all. If you ask yourself, like, if we're tired, the answer is yes, because we're doing a lot of things at once. Mm-hmm. And one of them is birthing another book. And we're very excited about it. It's about ADHD. It's actually called ADHD is Awesome. We're like finishing up like little stuff, like the cover and some illustrations. And we can't wait to share it with you sometime next year. But speaking of second books, today we are talking to Matthew McConaughey.
Have you heard of him? Maybe you've heard of him. I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to talk to him about his instant #1 New York Times bestselling children's book, Just Because.
And we wanted to include you in this part of the conversation, the conversation that happens before the interview, just because, if you will. We cannot talk about past or future movie projects or any acting projects because of the ongoing strikes within SAG and AFTRA. So just so you know, if you're curious and you're like, how could you didn't ask him about X?
Yeah.
Those are ground rules we want to respect.
Can I also say, like, I'm okay with those ground rules. I think that's going to make us better interviewers. When we had Andy Weir on, I sucked. You can go back and listen to it. The entire time I was like, remember when you wrote that one book and you did that one thing? That was awesome. So I basically turned into Chris Farley in that SNL skit. And I think if we didn't have these ground rules with him, I'd be like, remember in Days and Confused?
You did that. Yeah.
When you were Wooderson and you said, all right, all right.
Yeah. What was that about?
Can you like do that again for us right now? So I'm glad. I'm glad with these ground rules.
So can I also be completely transparent?
Yes.
These type of interviews in which somebody's, by the way, when we wrote our first book, we did these sort of Zoom interview press tours with a lot of podcasts and different news outlets. And it's necessary when you are out promoting a project. It's a very important thing to do. You have a very narrow window of time to make a connection. And you really do need a connection in something like this. And I will say, most of the time, we don't do a lot of
these. We don't say yes.
Yeah, a lot of these because there are some wonderful, wonderful people out there promoting really worthwhile things. And we certainly depend on it. But what it comes down to is you typically hear the same sort of questions every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this opportunity presented itself, we were like, yes, because we are very curious about different aspects of Matthew McConaughey's life. And I hope that we can ask different questions than you've been hearing.
Well, so it just so happens, just from listening to what he's told other people about this book, it's like, I want to ask him about inspiration, mm-hmm. about his writing process, because he's focused more on writing and in some cases, musical writing. This book is really a song that turned into a book. So I'm always curious with anybody about their creative process. And I have a feeling that his is pretty unique, mm-hmm. just because of the kind of person that he is. And Kim, you made a good point as well, being from Uvalde, Texas, he has some activist roots that we're probably curious about as well.
I'm really interested. He has jumped into the conversation about responsible gun ownership and gun control. I mean, he's a Texas native, but his hometown is Uvalde, Texas, and he's taken a role in activism there. I am really curious about what that's been like.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, even, you know, you and I have tried our best to jump into conversations and support responsible gun ownership and gun control where we can. And the pushback we receive, totally worth it. But I just wonder, I think my question on that is, did he think it would be this hard? So I'm curious about that. Also, he's a parent with kids around the same age.
Similar age. And he talked about how he was parented. So I think we're going to have plenty to talk about. We've got, I think he's giving us 30 minutes, but you never know. I mean, he seems like a pretty important guy. So we have a lot to get to, and we're about to invite him on. But before we do, the last thing I want to mention is that I stopped myself about 15 minutes ago and I was like, Kim, I've just spent a lot of time getting ready for this podcast.
You look
like
really handsome.
I put product in my hair. I shaved. You also were putting on makeup.
I put on makeup. Typically I roll up to a podcast.
Yeah.
And I not out of like disrespect to our guests, but just, you know, I'm trying to prepare and I'm not really focused on lip gloss. And so this time I did apply some lip gloss.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
So, I think it's pretty cliche that you would be doing that. But also for some reason, I also want to look good for Matt. I can call him Matt, right?
Matt? Is he on your list?
My man?
Crush list?
You know what? From what I remember, when you hear my list, it's going to sound like it's specific to a certain type of person. But like my friends did a draft, like a guy draft of like who you're attracted to. And it just so happened in the draft, he was probably taken. I got like Taye Diggs, Denzel Washington, Idris Elba. And then after the third one, I was like, huh.
I've got a type.
What's going on here? And then I got Pierce.
Maybe we should get into the interview.
I did get Pierce Brosnan late. It was a steal. This was a long time ago. It was right when Idris was coming. Anyway. Let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's change it. And okay. Can I also say we did spend some time this morning Google searching our exes with each other. Let's do this. Let's check in after the interview.
Right.
We'll talk about
how we did.
We'll grade ourselves. Yeah. And then we'll also talk about why we were Google searching our exes.
You want to talk about that on this podcast? Okay. Matthew McConaughey is the Academy Award winning actor and number one New York Times bestselling author of Green Lights. He also created Green Lights, Your Journal, Your Journey, a guided companion that inspires readers to write down and reflect on their feelings, adventures, and dreams.
Matthew and his wife, Camilla, founded the Just Keep Living Foundation, which is dedicated to empowering high school students by providing them with the tools to lead active lives and make healthy choices for a better future.
Did you know that he is also a professor of practice and a minister of culture for the University of Texas at Austin, where he lives with his wife and three children? Matthew is a storyteller, a treehouse builder, and a pickle expert.
So many layers. Welcome to the show, Matthew. Hello.
Y'all look well and healthy this morning.
We're trying. We're a little ahead of you, so it's almost noon.
Filter, or is it, are you later in the day?
No, it's noon and two cups of coffee.
Two cups of coffee, and we were out of the country for the last 4 days, and so we think it's
pasta.
We think it's 8 o'clock
wine.
at night. Yeah, we're confused.
So we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You come back from eating pasta in Europe, wherever you are. Yeah. You look healthy. They got different food over there. It's more sustainable.
It really is. We're a little puffier but happier. So anyway,
worth the sacrifice.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your new book. We absolutely loved it. It was so fun to read. But I want to start this. It's interesting as reading this because Penn is a songwriter and we do a lot of music. It did read like a song. It did read like, I'm not a songwriter, but it did read like I wanted to sing it. Could you talk about the process? I mean, did you ever consider making this a song?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I woke up at 2:30 in the morning with this little Bob Dylan rap ditty in my head. Just because they threw the dart don't mean that it stuck. Just because you got skills don't mean there is no luck. Dun, 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 bah, 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 bah. So the hook, as a songwriter, you'll know, is the just because, right? And I actually put it out a song challenge post. So will you please join it today and put it out today, a song challenge to make your own ditty of the lyrics of the couplets of Just Because.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait, so I guess we should probably do that.
We should probably do that, babe.
Please do that.
All right.
So it came to me, at 2:30 in the morning. I woke up, as you do with it when you get a hook of a song, or as you do when you're having a dream that you don't want to quit dreaming. You get up and you stay quiet and you try to move to that beat and try to not rush it and try to don't let anyone interrupt and don't get anything else in your mind. I started writing. And the Just Because was the hook. I looked up 4 hours later. I have what I have on the page. I looked at that and I was like, oh, I needed that. That's a cool ditty. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, sounds a lot like what I think my kids could use. I'm hearing other parents say their kids could use. Oh, how about let me package this? It's already got the rhyme. What if I got illustrations that makes it more digestible for a younger audience? And there it is, Just Because.
Okay. I want to go back to the dream. This is fascinating to me. I've always believed in the power of inspiration, that creativity is kind of out there waiting to be discovered if you're willing to allow it to come to you. It's never come to me in a dream, though. I have weird dreams. I had a dream about snakes last night. Like, that's not helpful. I've never had a useful dream like that. But is this a common thing for you as a creative to find inspiration in dreams?
I will often, a couple times a week, have something that just as I'm about to doze off, or something that will wake me up in the morning at 4 a.m. or something, that if I can hang on to the one line that puts me in the place of where that dream was, I'll get up and I'll write it down or record it. Mm-hmm. And then if I remember enough, I'll then deconstruct that and remember the dream and write the story or the song or the poem. And you know, my favorite time to write is 4:30 a.m. The world is quiet and yeah. I just sleep. I'm not up at that time often. I've been probably up at that time more on the front side than the back side. but that's my favorite time to write and where my mind's most at rest. I think it's a favorite time for a lot of writers. Look, I've had, if you checked out Greenlight, a book I wrote before Just Because, I've had a couple of recurring dreams that I literally chased down that gave me a specific place and space in the world to go to. Mm-hmm. And I had them, I've had them more than once. So when you have a dream twice, that is the exact same one. And there's no argument, you know, that was the exact one you had last year, last whatever. I think that's definitely creativity going, or yeah. the divine going, you might want to listen to this one. There's a sign. There's a mystical sign here for you. You don't know the science yet, but go put some rhyme to go put the reason to the rhyme and go find mm-hmm. out. So yeah, I have literally chased a few. And look, I hear you. I've had my snake dreams too, man. A lot of times it's nice to wake up and go, oh, reality, so much better than where I was. I'm so glad to wake up.
What is the weirdest dream Matthew McConaughey's ever had?
Oh, I mean, look, check out Green Lights. There's a okay. there's a wet dream in there that I checked.
Oh, okay.
Recurring. And I was like, wow, this was great. But the elements in the dream were very contradictory to what you would think a wet dream would be about. And I had it twice. And then I had it three times. And then I had it four times. And you'll see in there's a story about where I've chased it around the world. It took me to Peru for 3 weeks on my own. It took me to Africa for 3 weeks on my own. Without those dreams and me following up on those dreams, I don't know that I'd be sitting here talking to you right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would be where I am in my life. I would have chased those dreams down.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We have kids around the same age. We have a daughter who's 16, a son who's 13. And as I was reading this, there were a few of those couplets that really hit. And I do find the hardest part of parenting is, like, I can say all of these things, but I don't actually know anything. So I feel
I know.
It turns out that my kids are geniuses and they know everything because I tell them and they reply like, oh, I know already. So, so tell me about parenting in this stage. Are you encountering the same things? Are your kids receptive to your advice? Do they, and you know, read these words and are they hearing it too?
Well, I think another version of what you said is sometimes I can say it and they don't want to hear it from me, right. But maybe someone they look up to, I can whisper in there and that person says the same thing to them. They're like, oh, okay, now I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times as parents, we have to just go, hey, I don't have to get the credit as long as it gets to them. And how do they get it? We do it as their mother and father. You know, we don't want them to know that we powwowed and come out and are both independently saying something and going, oh, I didn't know. We didn't talk about that. So you got to be cool about how you get it. But when they hear the same message in different ways from myself and Camilla or from two parents, I think It's not, they think they might be playing a good cop, bad cop, but they're not. Mm-hmm. We're good. We're copping them in the right way when we do it well. And then there's others that they don't get. And you know what? It's not going to be your choice not to get it, because if you don't get it, here's the consequences. And some things they learn, as I know I did, not because I understood the affirmation of what my parents gave me. Some things we learn because, damn it, I got consequences I didn't like for not doing what mom and dad said. So I don't like those consequences. Therefore, I'm going to do the opposite of what I did, which is a backhanded way to get them to do what we want them to do.
I want to talk some about what your parents taught you. You talked about this in Green Lights. You talked about your mom getting you off of screens, saying no TVs, and making you get out in the world and be the subject instead of the observer.
Yeah,
I love that so much. And I wish that I had done more of that with our kids. I'm wondering how you're doing with that particular message from your mom in this age with so many screens.
I hear you. Look, I'm not doing it to the extent she is, nor do I think that I should be. I mean, we have to admit that the mobile device and the communication and the, you know, they talk to each other in the next room. You know, your restaurant, we have some certain rules where, like, you know, someone comes home in the family and you're on a device. I don't care where you are in the game. You stop. That's a virtual relationship. You stop and get up and greet the person. For real. No. And look in the eye. Hi, how you doing? How's your day? What's your name? Meet them. Dinners. No. We don't pull those out at the table. This is live time. This is in-person time. Mm-hmm. We obviously have to buffer and put measurements on the amount of time, you know, an hour a day. Now you can spread it out where you want, or we're not going to start our day. No devices or talking to anyone else outside of the family until we're on the way to school. But getting up, taking our time, having a stretch, having breakfast, getting dressed, doing your chores, everybody, how we doing? That's our time. We're not interrupted. We're not talking to the outside world. They can wait. Mm-hmm. And let your friends know that. We have to tell them that too. And then there's curfew at nighttime. We're not going to have, once we've settled down, you know, now we've had our family time. Now it's your time. This is not time to get in bed and now check in with all the friends in the outside world who may be in different time zones and it's daytime and they're doing something and you're wondering why you're having to go to bed. No, now it's your time independently. Now it's time to, very important, that one's a tough one.
Yeah.
To the value of spending time with yourself in your own mind, where your thoughts going. The children these days, I mean, I do it. I want to go to this thing. Yeah. Where is it? No, set it over there. Just sit still with yourself for a minute. So we have some rules like that.
Yeah, I love those rules. I probably need those rules for myself, because if what you're saying is true, that some inspiration comes to you as you're falling asleep, I'm watching, you know, like pimple popping videos to calm down at night before I sleep. So like that's
very rewarding. And
Oh my gosh. Just like when you get the cyst out whole, I mean.
You think it's going to be a lot smaller.
My kids have a word that they've been using for about a year for things like that, whether it's the Play-Doh they play with. You do how satisfying.
So satisfying.
Lola does that too.
Yeah, and it's the ASMR. Yeah. They just fall asleep listening. So I feel like if I cleared my brain of cyst removal or ingrown hair removal, maybe I'd be more open to inspiration. Okay. I do love the couplet form of the book. One of the ones that really got me was, just because I'm in the race doesn't mean I'm fully ready. Just because you're shaking doesn't mean that you're not steady. That, I think most of my life I deal with anxiety. Most of my life has been showing up scared and showing up not ready. And I really did have this perception in my life that everybody else was ready and calm.
Right.
But that's not true, right?
No.
None of us are ready.
No, hope not. I feel like fully ready. I mean, I talk to my kids about this. I said, I get butterflies every scene of every movie I'm still in. I've done 40 something movies and I have butterflies before a scene. They're like, you do? I'm like, yes. So why? I said, well, look, I feel as prepared as I can be. I'm very much into preparation, but I don't want to go in feeling like I am in the know. I have this completely locked and handled. Well, already I'm just saying that, where's the life? Where's the magic going to happen in that? I want to be able to be surprised. I want to be able to call an audible. And how can I flow through when the mic doesn't work, when the teleprompter skips, when the person opposite me in the scene does something completely different than was in the script? How can I dance with that? Now, just because I'm in the race doesn't mean I'm fully ready. You know, like all these things, there's our children today more than ever have this idea that I got to have these shoes to play the best. I got to have these socks. I got to have these shin guards. But this shirt, it's a little too big. All these things got to be perfect. And it's like my son who surfs, the board's got to be, just a quarter of an inch thinner. I'm like, okay. But you understand that where this sport started, these were Polynesians surfing on logs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's just go back that you may not have the, don't rely so much on the gear,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the gear, those new shoes, they emotionally make you feel good when you hit the court. But 10 minutes into the game, those shoes got nothing to do with your game. You know what I mean? So you don't have to be fully perfectionally ready. I wrote that for me as well, because I love to prepare so much that sometimes I have to remind myself, dude, you're going to prepare your way through ever doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to drop it and go get in the game, McConaughey. Let's go press record and see and go live and see how we do. And even when I don't feel prepared enough. So it's a bit of that informality just to take the pressure off. Hey, the girl, I believe in the picture, shoes are untied. She's not fully ready, but she's in the race.
Yeah.
And then the steady one is that deal that children say all the time. And you just said, you go up, you're nervous because you're going to go, I don't know, speak or something. My kids say, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I was like, good. That's a great combination. I've made, you know, district winning golf putts in high school that my knees were shaking over that downhill 4.5 footer.
Mm-hmm.
I was shaking, but I made the putt. I was steady. I held my form. I've also missed those putts.
I was going to say, you probably learned as much from missing those too.
If there's something that Matthew and I don't have in common, I don't think I've ever made a downhill 4.5 foot putt in my entire life that meant anything. It's just like, that's it. Yeah, those are tough ones. Isn't it funny how we're relating as adults before even seeing if our kids haven't read this, but as adults, like this is a book is very useful for me as well. For you in that couplet, for me, I think the thing I read that really touched, by the way, you've got some like Kendrick Lamar bars in some of this, this one, which I absolutely loved, was there's what you do, there's what I do, and yours is not my must.
Yeah, I believe that comes after just because I forgive you doesn't mean that I still trust.
Exactly. And for me, I mean, it's so funny when Kim and I started out as a relationship, we wrote about this in our book, we were what's called an undifferentiated ego mass. We just kind of everything that one person wanted to do, the other person wanted to do. And after a while, we realized that we need to be our own person every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that any adolescent, teenager, anybody who's reading this book, maybe some of your kids as well, when they get their first taste of relationships, that's a tough thing to learn.
Sure. And, you know, I have one of my children is a real peacemaker, a real pleaser, doesn't like the conflict and almost thinks that to disagree or do her own thing might be conflictual. And we're like, no, it's not. We're glad you're a peacemaker. But there are certain times where, what do you want to do instead of what they're doing or what your best friend's doing? And if you want to do what they're doing, where I'm all for comparing before you contrast, great, go. But don't need to be a sheep. Ask yourself, do you want to before? Do you want to even agree? Is that where you want to go eat? Is that what you want to do this weekend before you let them all just say, well, this is what I want to do and go, okay. So we love your peacemaking ability, but also want you to have an individual mind and choice of your own. That's a bit what that's about, that couplet there. Mm-hmm. And the forgiving and not trusting, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiveness is good for the forgiver. It's also good for the one being forgiven, but it's really good for the forgiver, no matter if we deal with that person again ever in life.
Yeah.
For us, it's cleaning the house. I forgive you. That doesn't mean we're still hanging out. That doesn't mean I'm still trusting you. That doesn't mean we're still friends. But like we can still forgive.
I really appreciate and have respected what you've done in your acting career, have loved your books, but I would say as a mom, One of the things I've most admired is recently you've stepped into the conversation about responsible gun ownership and gun control with your wife, and especially what happened with your hometown in Uvalde, Texas. So I've actually been following that because we've done what we can as well to step into that conversation. Did you ever think it would be this hard to enact meaningful change around this issue? Or did you know it was going to be this hard?
Oh, I mean, I'm still learning. I mean, no, I didn't ever think it would be this hard because I actually didn't think it was going to get this hard. I didn't think the problem was going to get to be this yeah. mass. On the legislative policy, like the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act that was passed in America the first time in 28 years to safe in schools. To have L's and R's from the Senate and Congress come together and agree on, the amount of horse trading, the amount of compromise, the amount of, well, I'll do this if you'll do this, that I had no idea that was that thick.
It's a really good adjective for it.
Thick.
It's a good adjective. Yeah.
Use that word, but I may stick with that one. Yeah. That was, and to see, you know, what was said, not necessarily being what was done. Yeah. So I understand it, but I'm not ready to go, okay, that's just
the way it is.
No, I'm not ready to do that. And I don't think a lot of people are. A lot of people are moving out of fear right now instead of any affirmation or vision. And a lot of steps to go forward are based off of, I know if I give you a slice, you're gonna tell, I want the whole loaf. And the truth is usually they're right. Now, something like the Green Light Grant Initiative that Camille and I are trying to push through now, which helps these school districts that need to safe in their schools apply in the best way to get the best chance to get that federal money that's there to save in their schools. Is that the solution? No. Is it a definite step in the right direction? Yes. And if we can show and document and dispatch and advertise the assets of, look, we got another counselor in this school and this counselor found this child who was about to do this. Oh, if we can show those as measurable assets, these kind of initiatives and grants and federal grants can get refunded and you can find some momentum to go, oh, that worked. This is a way that private citizens can work with the public government and helping that these, it's like a civics class and supply and demand where the private sector is working with the public government. And I think we need more of that. Mm-hmm. And if we can help each other out instead of the thinking that, oh, the government's got it because who I voted for is in position, so they got it, I don't got to do anything. Or the opposite, no, they can't do anything, so let the private sector handle everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's another divide we have in the country too.
All right, so you've published another book. It's a best-selling, that's a New York Times bestseller. You have successfully launched a grant initiative to keep schools safe. Do your kids think you're cool finally? Are you there? Do your kids think you're cool? No teenager thinks their parents are cool, but
you're Matthew McConaughey.
You're Matthew McConaughey. Do they think you're cool?
Let me say, I think I'm still in the bucket of most parents on this one.
Really?
Look, I mean, they thought I was cool for a little bit when Sing and Kubo and the Two Strings came out. That's bye-bye, that's your voice. I was cool for a couple weeks in there.
Yeah.
Had a good run. Ed had a little more viscosity in the household for a few weeks there. Just because the book comes in and they go, oh, you were number one Times New York Times bestseller. They lit the Empire State Building green for green lights being on the list, on the New York Times bestseller list for almost 100 weeks. They thought that was like something about that being a building that I had to do with. And they lit that green for you.
Okay.
They thought that was pretty cool. As far as my movies, they haven't watched one. I haven't made many that I feel like they can watch.
true.
The ones they have watched, they don't say much. They're like, okay. And if we're like scrolling through and a movie with their Popeye, Matthew McConaughey comes up, that's not the one they want to watch.
Right.
Okay. So basically, For those listening, there is no hope for the rest of us.
Right.
I mean, so if Matthew McConaughey can't get his kids on board.
Maybe he says stuff, like he'll say something and they'll say, Dad, they don't say that anymore. I'm sure that happens in your house, right? You try to say something to be cool and they're like, no.
No.
That some. I've also gotten the, oh gosh, don't give us another TED Talk. You know?
Like,
so, what's fun about, like we talk about just because. Well, put that quote unquote TED Talk issue and make it rhyme, put some illustrations with it, get a little ditty to it. All of a sudden it becomes kind of, the message becomes fun. The broccoli tastes good. No one's preaching, not giving us advice. Papa, you're just singing a song. If we can get away with it that way, I'm in.
I love it. You've just served cheesy broccoli and a TED Talk and a song. And just because, I love it so much. Thank you so much for your time. This has been so much fun and such a pleasure to meet you.
You're welcome. Will y'all send your own personal ditty in them just because?
Okay.
It can be any version, genre of music you want.
Anyone you would like us to try? You've got Bob Dylan. Anyone you'd like in particular?
90s hip hop.
You want 90s? I mean, would you like maybe like a banger, like a house version?
Like a power ballad?
Power ballad? I mean, a little Metallica Old Testament version of it.
I don't know if I can do that. I'll try.
Okay.
Whatever floats your boat, whatever raises your skirt.
Okay. It was an honor to meet you. Thank you so much for your time. Okay, and that's a wrap. I think you did well asking questions, different questions. I don't think I've heard those questions asked.
Yeah, I did fine. Yours, like, the best question was yours, and it was, or just the, like when you were sharing kind of everything that came with your anxiety, and then you, because the best questions are the one that elicit the best answers.
Okay.
And then he actually admitted that he still gets nervous and terrified when he's acting. And that was,
it's refreshing. And not that I want that for anybody, but that's refreshing to hear.
It actually felt great to hear that his parents think he's a dork.
Or his kids think he's
that his kids think he's a nerd.
I know.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want other people to suffer, but...
But in this case,
I mean, it's good to know that other people don't, or kids also think they're ridiculous.
It's refreshing. I mean, if we found out, like, well, I'm a millionaire, I'm a best-selling author, I'm handsome, I'm an Oscar winner.
I have a super hot wife.
I got into a car accident that made my penis larger. And, you know, like, I don't know if that's actually happened, but no.
That's
like
from the movie, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Does anyone know what that movie was? It's a great movie.
God Bless America. What is it from?
I think it was Date Night, right? Wasn't it Tina Fey's ex-husband?
Yeah. Anyway, so Just Because is available anywhere books are sold. We're going to link to it in the show notes. Again, it's a children's book, which I think are bizarrely hard to write. The illustrations are adorable, but I think there's some good dinner time couplets that you could use as a springboard. That we have a copy of it, so we'll bring it to dinner tonight to kind of maybe a starting point for our teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought you did a good job. I think also at the beginning of the conversation, I had promised to explain why we were Google searching at X's. I have not. How long have we been together?
Dating plus married.
Yeah,
20 years.
So for 20 years, I have no animosity to any person I ever dated. I don't feel like one way or another. I wish them well.
Yep.
You know, some ended like in a fiery crash and some were like, oh, okay, we're just going to move on. So there's no, but I don't think, I haven't thought about an ex. I also don't stay in touch with any ex at all.
Me neither. Although I've run into them just cause I was a college like reunion.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Right, right. No, totally. And everybody, I mean, there's no drama there, but there was a conversation that got started about like who had, I just thought that like my exes were really attractive and maybe, and I was like, I dated, you know, they're really attractive people. And I'm like, did you date attractive people? And so we're just Google searching to compare. Now, because I only know what two of your exes look like. So I was getting the full rundown of exes. So that's why we were Google searching. So we're showing each other's exes to see like how hot they were.
And you thought that yours were hotter than mine before the conversation started.
Yeah.
Do you still think that?
Oh no, yours have aged very well. Yeah, they're very attractive. They're very attractive.
They're all great.
No, but
women.
No, not that I thought. I mean, I only knew two of them, and yeah. they were very pretty. So I just didn't know the rest of them.
I don't know why, but when she made that theory,
he was competitive.
I was like, my exes
were hot. So then
Kim's like, you're not going to look them up. That's creepy. I'm like, it's the principle of it, honey.
Yeah, and so I bet yours are also have a more active social media presence. And then I was like, I'm doing two.
Yeah, yours were hard to find.
I mean,
the one who was the drummer from Cinderella is pretty easy to find.
But his aged really well. He's really cute.
Wait, you didn't show me him.
I'll show you after. Anyway.
I don't like where this is ending.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Check out Just Because.
Yeah, sure.
You're the cutest, and you look really handsome in that shirt.
Yeah,
it's a good shirt.
Drums for dinner.
No, but you look very handsome.
It's the shirt.
No, I did see, we did go to Italy, you guys. I think our last podcast we talked about, it was so much fun, it's too fast. But there was a pool there, and I was like, oh, who's the hot guy by the pool? I was like, that's my husband. Yeah.
This podcast is taking a crazy turn.
Okay. Anyway, love you.
Love you guys. Thanks for listening. And thank you again to Matthew. Can we call him Matt?
Matt?
Thanks to the Mattster for coming by.
Okay.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.